Chapter 5. Nikki. In which reflections on 20 years of bonhomie and discontent are shared on the occasion of a tragic dissolution. When Tommy was released from prison, he didn't call anyone in the band. I didn't find out until 3 days later that he was even out of jail. And the way I found out was because someone had seen him in a mall. I was furious. I had visited him almost every week. I did everything I could to keep him sane in there, even starting a letter-writing campaign to get him an early release. So when he didn't even let me know he was out, it felt like a slap in the face. I called him and said, "What's going on? Why didn't you tell me you were out?" "What's the problem?" he bristled. "It's not my job to report to you." Throughout the Greatest Hits tour that followed, he was cold and aloof. He was a time bomb ticking with resentment. It was only a matter of time before he blew. So when everyone turned against Vince after the fight in the airport, I saw it for what it really was. Tommy throwing gasoline on a fire. Sure, Vince was being a jerk to our publicist. But at the same time, Tommy took a bad situation and made it worse by grabbing Vince by the neck. On the plane afterward, Tommy became very emotional and started crying while Vince sat as far away as he could, sulking and indignant. They were like two little kids. I'd seen this kind of thing happen between any two of us a million times. But when the dust settled, we were a band. Everyone made mistakes. Everyone was an asshole sometimes. On the plane, I told them the new game plan. "Listen, we're right where we want to be. We have our own label now. So we can reissue our old albums with all the unreleased tracks the fans have been asking for, make a new album of pure kick-ass rock, and by September of 2001, take some time off and work on whatever solo project we want." But Tommy wasn't having any of it. Back in L.A., he refused to talk to Vince and make peace. And Vince refused to talk to Tommy. They were both wrong, but neither would admit it. And I knew that if they would just sit down like Vince and I had after our fight on the swine tour, they could settle their issues. But the best I could do was talk Tommy into finishing the tour. "Fine," he told me. "But I want my own tour bus, and I want my own dressing room, and don't even think about putting me on the same airplane as that dickhead. I don't want to see that asshole until the lights come on, and when we come off stage, you better fucking take him in one direction and me in the other. I don't want to fucking run into him, because, dude, I don't trust myself." When we came home from the tour, a friend called and told me to turn on K-Rock because Pamela Anderson was being interviewed. She said that she and Tommy were back together again and that Tommy had decided to leave Motley Crue to record a solo album. That was how I found out Tommy had left the band, from Yoko Ono on K-Rock. I called Tommy, but he wouldn't return my calls. I stopped by his house, but he wouldn't answer the door. I wrote him letters and emails, but he never responded. He was just gone, as if the past 20 years of friendship and music didn't exist. It hurt immensely, but it doesn't anymore.